get, I'm gonna go get myself put together.
All right. All right, that was enough of those readings, right? There's some great stuff. All right, let me see what we got here. My name is Chris Holm, we're great for a recovering addict. I've asked Trey to come up here and introduce Aziz. Okay, all right. Come on, Trey.
I'm an addict. My name is Trey. So it's good to see all these people out here this morning, man. Y'all ready to recover today?
Yes!
So when I met Aziz, man, it was 2021. I was new. I didn't think I belonged anywhere. I didn't think I fit in. I was nothing like anybody around me, I thought. We had a sponsorship retreat, and I ended up in a room with him and a couple of other people, and I started whining about what made me different, my losses that I'd had, and I thought nobody else could, you know, had anything in common with me. I started talking with Aziz, and we shared a similar devastating loss in our life. I ended up talking with Aziz for about, I don't know, an hour. And I realized I needed to stop living in the past. And I knew that I wasn't alone. And I was able to open up and become a part of something bigger than myself. And I'm still a part of that sponsorship family today. So without further ado, man, I want Aziz to come up here. Let's give some experience, strength, and hope, brother. I love you.
Thank you, Chris.
Aziz, I'm an addict. We were told there wouldn't be that many people up here this morning. Thanks, Trey. I appreciate those nice words. You know, what's really neat is when Trey was speaking, you know, it made me realize that sometimes I need to work on that, you know, living in the past, you know, and I think that's how this whole deal works, you know. Yeah, I'd like to just take a minute, let me out of the way so that God can come in and do his work, you know, because, you know, I need that. Aziz, I'm an addict. You know, I was asked to do this workshop, and, you know, I was told in the program that, you know, when you're asked to do something for Narcotics Anonymous, you're not to say no. You know, you do it. And this is not my favorite thing to do at all. And, and you know, I used to say I hate it, but, you know, I was told that, you know, I get to share something about me. And my sponsor used to say, you know, how can you fuck it up? Because it's your stuff. You know, and but I'm still nervous as hell, and there's a bunch of folks here staring at me. But, you know, I looked that up last night about the seeds of resentment. I thought I knew what all it meant. You know, I just want to read this, and it'll take up some time, too, you know. You know, are the initial, often unspoken feelings of hurt, frustration, or unmet expectations that, if left unaddressed, grow into deep-seated bitterness, anger, and damaged relationships. These seeds are typically planted through poor communication, ignored needs, and repeated disappointments. I read this last night. I thought that's not what I thought, you know, a lot of the resentment stuff meant, you know, because we talk about the lingo stuff, you know. I knew it, but, you know, when I started looking at this, it went straight to something that I'm really dealing with right now, you know, and somebody really close to me, you know, it's my wife, and you know, she's not acting how I want her to, you know, and she's not, you know, keeping up with some of the things that we had talked about, and, you know, and I can't find that, you know, that piece of paper that we signed. It was an agreement saying that she was going to do this, this, and this, you know, but, you know, life happens, shit changes, you know, and, I did some things the other day that I'm not really proud of. You know, I acted out on old behavior and stuff. And you know, I'm not happy with the way I reacted, you know. And then, you know, when I came here, I started looking up some of this stuff, you know. And a lot of it's, you know, my expectations of what I think she should do, you know, of what I think she should be. Or, you know, does some of it have some merit? Yes, you know. But, man, that's not my job as a husband, you know. It's to be there and support her. And I wasn't able to do that the other night. And I've not been able to do that for a while, you know, just to be honest. And You know, there's nothing else I can do. But this morning, you know, I got up. I got on my knees after a very long time. I talked to a friend last night for a while. And you know, he said, man, when was the last time you prayed about this? And, you know, and like, where is God in your program? And, you know, I guess the seeds of resentment. But, you know, I also want to talk about the, you know, I think what's going to work for me. Because, you know, when I looked into all this, it was, I was like, shit, I do this, all this stuff all the time. You know, like, somebody doesn't fit in my categories of what I think they should do or to say from the podium or this and that, you know. And I was like, shit, I didn't know I did all that. You know, that shit's going on in my head continuously, you know. And I don't know, you know, I started really looking at that last night. And it's funny how God works, you know. And I'm not as nervous today because I'm going through a bunch of shit and I want to get through it, you know, because I'm not worried about what y'all think about me today. And, you know, I think God's got me right where he wants me, you know, and that's how this stuff works for me, you know. And it doesn't usually work out this way, you know. And, you know, I've been in here for a few years and life's been going really well, you know. But, you know, all that stuff has picked up. You know, I've slowed down on my meetings and all this other stuff. So a lot of my tools have gotten more, you know, not as sharp, I guess, you know. And, you know, one of my friends told me one time, you know, if people are getting on your nerves for how they drive, it's a pretty good gauge of how you are doing spiritually. And, you know, and people have not been driving right at all, you know. And, but, you know, I joke around to say that, you know, and it's good to see things like that, you know, because today I have to have people in the program, you know, to call me on my shit, you know. And I'm not one of those people, you know, I guess they call, you know, the old way of doing things, you know. It's not just being rough, because this is not a fucking game, you know. It's really more these days than before, you know. I could take a couple of pills, you know, feel real shitty, wake up and be okay. And these days, you know, people are not waking back up, you know. And that's just the reality of it, you know. So to me, it's more important today, you know. And if I don't watch some of these things, you know, because the way I felt from how I acted the other day, I don't like those fucking feelings. You know, do I want to use dope? Not at all. You know, and I want to use something, you know. So I went to the cookie store yesterday afternoon, you know, and, you know, got me some cookies, you know. And and then, you know, I've been eating too much, this and that. And, you know, I act out in different ways, you know, and it's all because of my selfishness and what I think is right, you know. And I thought that I did a good job, or what I thought, you know, in this program of doing what I should be doing. And I think I've done okay, but, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, I tell people, I'm like, you know, you don't ever reach a point in this program to where you don't have to go all the time, or you don't have to do this, you know, because that's not how it works. But then I took an inventory of myself. Hell, I'm not doing as many meetings as I need to be. You know, I'm not doing a lot of the stuff that I used to do. You know, I took a break from service committee for a year, you know, because after a little while, you know, this person gets on my nerves, or that person gets on my nerves, or they do this, or they don't do it the right way. And, you know, and I look back at that shit last night, and I was like, damn, you know, I'm fucking ate up in this shit, you know. And, and you know, I thought resentment was, you know, just that talk people say, you know, you just piss in your pants and expect somebody else to know how you feel. And, you know, and I was like, well, hell, that's what I've been doing. You know, I need to get me some diapers and, you know, some other shit. Because, you know, I don't like the way I feel, you know. And, you know, maybe this is a good way of me getting out what's going on with me, you know. And, you know, when people have asked me this weekend, how are you doing, you know, and I've just kind of puked on them, you know, and told them what's going on with me, because that's what y'all taught me to do, you know. And I didn't really blame her, because it's my fucking actions that at the end did what I did. And, you know, and I'm the only one that can fix that, because, you know, nobody else can, you know. But I need y'all's prayers, you know. And that's one of the things that, you know, I have done or not done, you know, is get on my knees. And, you know, I can't change any of the shit that I haven't done, but all I can do is, moving forward, do some things differently. And I don't know how it is, you know, this stuff just gets in there, you know. To me, when I go back to look at it, it's just the disease coming out in different ways, you know. And just because I haven't used dope, you know, you see my closet with shoes, guns, clothes, and, you know, and all this different stuff, man. I'm trying to feel something, and I don't know what the hell that void is, you know. And I know when I first came in here, you know, I filled it with y'all, and then I filled it with God. And, you know, and somewhere down the road, you know, it slipped back out, and, you know, it's showing up in different ways, you know. You can only eat so many damn cookies, you know, and they were really good, but, you know, I just couldn't eat that many to eat my feelings through it, you know. And and that's what's, you know, gets me is today, you know, I don't have to do all that shit, but also, you know, y'all gave me all the tools to work through it. You know, I'm really embarrassed on how I acted, you know, on this or that. And, you know, and now that I look back at it, I'm like, well, you know, I have this much time clean, so I should be like here. And I know that's not the case, you know, but my actions speak differently. And maybe that embarrassment's good, you know. It puts me where I'm at, right where I need to be, you know, teachable. And kind of sharpen my tools back up, you know, and that's all it's about, you know. And y'all taught me to be who I am, you know, to do what I do. And somebody said, well, how the hell do you do this program, you know, or this, this, and this, you know. When I came in here, y'all told me to shut up, listen, and do what we do. And, you know, some of the shit I did not want to do and I didn't do because, you know, from inside I was like, I don't need to be doing this, you know. And that's okay, too, because, you know, that was God telling me, hey, maybe you don't need to do this or that. You know, and we've got the fucking common sense, you know, to certain things. Or now I do that I'm not pretty fogged up, you know. And so if I've got all that stuff and I've got the tools, you know, and I know it's important to know what those seeds of resentments are, but, you know, for me, I was always told, you know, get into the solutions of things. What can you do? What can you change? Because it's also good to be able to point out what's what, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to change it. But, you know, my nickname for my wife is Solution Sally. You know, and one of my sponsees and her came up with it, and, you know, and that's good up to a certain extent, but, you know, I cannot apply that in all my affairs, you know, and because I have to play different roles in life in different places, you know. And I was speaking with this lady the other night about some of this, and I have a lot of respect for her. And, you know, it's weird, like, when I was talking to her, I could hear myself. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, just in the back of my head, I was like, why am I doing this? And, you know, and I look back at it now, you know, and it's because of my actions. You know, what was coming out of my mouth was exactly what I'm doing. But hearing it from saying it is two different things, you know. And I was like, that's not who I want to be, and that's not who I really am. But it's still inside of me, you know. All that shit, the rage, the, you know, madness. And, you know, I thrive on that stuff a lot, too, you know. And I don't know, you know, the older I get, I try to stay away from more of that chaos. But it seems like a lot of times I'm still creating that chaos because, you know, inside, that's how it works. You know, that's how I work. And, you know, in that shit, I can do really well, you know, because I can, you know, control myself. When stuff's not crazy, I'm like, well, what do I do? And what's weird is, you know, it's kind of like autopilot. You know, I don't even know I'm doing those things until afterwards. And then that shame and guilt and all that stuff's kicked in, you know. And in parts of me yesterday, you know, I talked to her, and then I was still an asshole, you know, by the time I got off the phone with her, you know. And so today I told myself, I said, I'm not going to call her. I'm just going to be in these damn feelings, feel how I feel, and do some things differently, and not just say those things, but, you know, change them in action. Hell, how it's going to work out, I have no idea, you know, but, you know, we'll see, you know. But if everything else in my life has worked out the way it has, you know, with the help of y'all and the God of my understanding, everything else is going to work out, you know, even with that stuff, you know. And another thing, you know, that I was thinking about with that when I was talking to that lady was, you know, I am treating my wife in this relationship as my sponsors, and that's not my job. And I forget to take my hat off, and it's really hard to take my hat off because, you know, that's how I've lived for so long. That's how we do things, you know. But, you know, it's not just that quick. Not everybody's ready to get into the solution. And then as I speak to y'all, I see, because that's why I need to stay in that other stuff so that maybe I don't repeat it. So it's kind of embedded more in me, you know, on what am I doing, you know, or what can I do? And, you know, I can run things by people, you know, and to see, you know, what do I need to do? And really, at the end of the day, you know, it's me and God that can do or make any changes. But if I don't have that relationship with God, I'm on self-will. And you know, and that's how I've run for a while, you know. And I don't know, man, you know, I'm real grateful, you know, for this program because it gives me a chance to no matter how what kind of shitty actions I take at times to what I do wrong to, you know, if I go back out again, you know, and that's another thing that scares me is like my ego, you know, sometimes I'm like, I say I don't worry about what y'all think about me, but if I didn't, you know, I wouldn't have taken a shower this morning, you know, I wouldn't have brushed my hair, you know, and all that good stuff, you know, I can say these things, but, you know, my actions is what matters, you know, hell, I was in the elevator with some folks last night. And, you know, it's weird how something's in my forefront, you know, and I really need to be more mindful of what I do and what I think because that's what's taken over my life. And, you know, these folks weren't doing, or they're doing right or wrong, it doesn't matter, you know, it's just, I'm just being really judgmental. And I guess that's where some of that stuff's coming from, you know, of what's right or what's wrong. But, you know, it's whatever you want to do is right for you. I don't know that, you know, and I really have to work on those things, you know, for me. And you know, that's the way I think this thing works. You know, God puts us in those places because that's the part of my life I guess I needed to look at, you know, to see what's going on, you know. And I'm grateful for that shit today, you know. I'm not grateful for the way I acted, but, you know, there's a solution Sally again, you know. And, you know, what can I do? You know, because when it comes down to dope, you know, I couldn't stop. You know, I was looking at prison time, you know, when they told me, you know, you got an 8-2. I was like, shit, you know. And some of my friends told me that I was going into the meetings with a notebook trying to take notes so that I could, you know, recover. Because, hell, I didn't want to go to prison, you know. I'm not fighting material, you know. I'd probably be blowing up places now. But I don't know, you know, I'm just keeping it real, you know, because that's how it is, you know, because, you know, I have to try to fit in wherever I go, and that's all I knew then, you know, and, you know, today may be different, you know, but I think that's all I got. You know, I know my friend Chase has a whole lot to say, you know, we were back there talking about, you know, taking up time, but, you know, I just don't have a whole lot to say, but, you know, I hope y'all got something out of it, and you keep me in your prayers. Thanks.
Right on, that's some good stuff. I needed to hear that. Let me get Mason up here to introduce our next speaker, Chase.
Legs asleep. I'm Mason, I'm an addict. Y'all having fun so far?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right, so my resentment with Chase started. Now, look, I'm sure I can contribute to some of the material that he's going to share with you today, a little bit of it anyway. But I can tell you this, we have had our differences of opinion in certain settings, but there was an opportunity not long ago that... Chase had the opportunity or needed another sponsor, and it's weird, like, even though we'd had those differences of opinion, I've always respected Chase's program, and I really, really was kind of had my fingers crossed hoping that he would pick me, you know, and he did, and it's really been an honor, man, to work with him. I can tell you this. He's as consistent as you can be in this program. Constantly bitches and complains. No, he calls me every day, man. He calls me, he communicates with me every day. It's really cool being able to go through the process of the steps with him, even though he's been through them before. And yeah, he's got a lot to offer, and really excited for y'all to get to hear him. So come on up, Chase.
Don't fuck it up.
It's all right. I love you. Thank you.
Hey, y'all, I'm Chase. I'm an addict. So when I was given my topic, I was like, I don't even know where to begin with that. I was kind of lost, and then Mo told me it was at 8 a.m. on a Saturday, and I said, that's a seat of resentment. I've never seen 8 a.m. at a convention before. So it kicked it off well. No, then I went around and like asked some other people, like, what does that mean to you? And they're like, well, you know, Francis Mason's good buddy told me, he's like, hell, that's all you do is go around and seed resentments in people. So it should be a given. Normally I like to be like detailed and have an outline for these things, and I don't today, so I don't know really where this is going to go. So I kind of want to go through my journey of my understanding of what a resentment is, you know, and Aziz kind of hit on it. You know, I had the habit of always saying, I don't care what y'all think. I'm not like, it's not going to bother me what you think about me, because that doesn't matter to me. And so I kind of disregarded the fact that resentment even played a part in my life. I didn't put expectations on people. I saw life in absolutes, black and white. I was right, you were wrong. And so it wasn't necessarily resentment. It was just you not doing the right thing, which is what I wanted, right? But come to find out, you know, resentment's played a big part in my entire life. The behaviors and the defects of character that I developed as a means of survival all stemmed out of what I know now to be a resentment. And I thought that had to look at me getting outwardly upset, or us getting into an argument, or me having a preconceived idea of the way something should look and it not turning out that way. But what I review a resentment as today is anything in my life that has caused me any type of physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual pain or discomfort. Anything that I choose to not let go of. And so, it's crazy. I got to the fourth step and I was like, man, I don't really have any resentments. There's three people I really don't like, and they were all exes. I was like, I'll write about them. That's going to be really easy. And then, thankfully, through sponsorship and guidance of the program, I was told, no, that ain't going to cut it, you know, and I really got to write, and I say, anything you think about, write about. If it comes up, it's inventory material, it's a resentment, and man, I was blown away when I prayed for the ability to be honest and thorough, and I put pen to paper, and that list grew and grew and grew, and I think it was at that point that I kind of found that new understanding a little bit of what a resentment was and how they had drove me. But still, like over the years of me being here, my understanding today within this last year of resentment has changed. And I'll kind of tie into that here in a little bit. I told Mason I was going to kind of venture slightly off topic, but I don't really feel it's off topic. Because anytime resentment gets brought up, I feel like I have to talk about the triangle self-obsession, right? And understanding that that is my disease. That is the best explanation of the disease of addiction that I've ever seen. And like I said, my disease is not my substance use, right? That's a symptom of. That was my coping mechanism. That is the one thing I knew to deal with the actual problem. My problem is that I have a flawed way of thinking, flawed way of regulating emotions, and a flawed way of behaving, right? And what kicked off that triangle of self-obsession was a resentment. And it's not something I was talked about. Hell, I thought the way I felt was how everybody felt. I thought I was normal, right? I didn't know that the things that I experienced was irregular. And so I was holding on to these things, right? And through that process, I developed these defects of character. That's my coping mechanism, my survival tools, right? My sponsor now, he explained to me a character defect early on was a basic human trait distorted by my own self-centeredness. You know, it was my means of surviving in this world where I was the only one that was right and everybody else was wrong. That's how I protected myself from the wrong, right? And so this resentment led me on this path, right? Because I experienced, like I said, resentment to me, any type of physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual pain or discomfort, right? And I would always, I came through my whole life and still can do it to this day, where all I want to do is compare me and you, right? And so I knew, man, I had a good upbringing. My life wasn't chaotic. I wasn't a victim of abuse, right? I had everything that I needed. And so how could my life be so terrible that it caused me pain, right? Because I could look out in the world and see people who had it much worse than me, but the thing I didn't know was that physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual pain and discomfort doesn't have to look the same. The feelings are the same, right? And so I had all these feelings going on that I wasn't even aware of, I couldn't address. And it's not that I wasn't in an environment where I couldn't talk about it. I didn't know there was something there I needed to talk about. Like I said, that was the normal. And so what that led me through is a lifetime of being driven by fear, right? And I didn't know I was afraid. Hell, today when I'm driven by fear, I don't recognize it in the moment. I got to cause some chaos. And then I look back and say, well, damn, that wasn't, you know, that's what was going on. So all this subconscious pain or discomfort that I experienced in my life, these resentments, the pain that I refused to let go of because I didn't know how to let go of. First off, I didn't even know it was there. So how could I make a conscious decision to surrender if I don't even know it's there? Was driving me by fear, right? And so my thought process is I know right, all y'all are wrong. There's only one way this has to go. So that led me into that wearing masks, lying, cheating, manipulating, trying to dictate, control, and force an outcome, right? And so that's that triangle of self-obsession where I'm holding on to these resentments, this pain and discomfort. I'm trying to manipulate and control and dictate an outcome because I'm driven by fear because I don't want to experience something I've already experienced that I don't even know is going on. That's how powerful the disease of addiction is when it's rattling around in my brain. It is driving the boat and making me make decisions that I don't even know that I am making, right? And all of this that I'm telling you now is because I've done step work and I could look back and look at it and say, this is what was going on, right? And so I'm on autopilot. And all I do, every time I try to dictate, manipulate, and control an outcome, it never turns out right. I always say it goes to shit, right? So now what do I do? Goes to shit, I stack a resentment on a resentment, right? Now I'm carrying two levels of mental, physical, emotional, spiritual pain and discomfort. So I'm going to double down. I'm going to try to manipulate a little harder. I'm going to try to dictate a little harder. Sometimes that involves no other people. Sometimes that is by the means of isolation. And when I say isolation, that's another word that I had twisted when I got clean. I thought isolating meant that I physically removed myself from being around y'all. Until the end of the road of active addiction, I was not a physical isolator. I would be around people all the time. Had that chameleon disease, right, where I could be who I needed to be in every group. I was friends with this group. I was friends with this group. I was on sports teams. I was well-liked. I was in all these groups. But through that whole process of being around all these people, I was isolating, right? Because we got a disease that affects us in the mental, the physical, and the spiritual, right? And so I wasn't physically isolated, but I was mentally, emotionally, and spiritually isolated my whole life. Because that was me protecting myself, right? That was me being driven by that fear. That was me standing in the right and keeping everybody else in the wrong. That was my form of isolation. And all that did was further develop these defects of character, right? Further develop those survival mechanisms, trying to protect myself from the things that I'd already experienced that I didn't even know I was protecting myself from. And so I get clean, I get into the step work, I start writing about resentments, and man, it was really easy, for the most part, to be able to look at these and be like, yep, I can see where I was resentful towards them. They did do some fucked up shit. You know? They did. But then we gotta admit our part to it, right? And it was a really easy route for me to say, well, yeah, I was doing some bad stuff I was using. I don't know if y'all are like me, but when I was going through like the forgiveness process, the things that I did while I was using, I had a pretty easy time forgiving myself for. It's like, man, I was shooting dope. What was I going to do? You know? And in my head, I said, well, it's easy for me to forgive these people as well, right? And I thought that was a simple process. So like, well, these resentments are gone. They're no longer driving the boat, not having a problem anymore, right? But again, that was me having a misunderstanding of what's really going on with me. Because again, remember, at the core of that triangle of self-obsession is exactly that. It's self-obsession, right? Is my total self-centeredness. I'm the center of the universe. I don't know if they told y'all before you came in here, but I'm a pretty big fucking deal. I'm really glad y'all came into my world today here at 8 a.m. But that's how I felt and that's how I thought, right? Because that's how I got to say that I was right and you were wrong. And so here's the thing. As I progressed in active addiction, you know, I guess I would set these expectations. But what I came to understand is that my expectations weren't always that you were going to act the way that I wanted you to act. By the end, my expectations were that you were going to do exactly the opposite of what I really wanted. So I was setting myself up again for you to validate the resentment. I would catch pre-resentments. Because I knew what I wanted, right? But what did my past dictate? You know, what did my past dictate? That nothing was going to turn out the way that I wanted it to turn out, right? And so I accepted the fact. Did that change the fact that I didn't want it to turn out that way? But I would still go on the exact same way with the same expectations, being driven by fear, trying to manipulate, trying to dictate, trying to talk my way through it, with a little bit of hope you're going to act away, but knowing you weren't, right? And so I'm setting myself up to continue to build these resentments. And honestly, that's kind of the way I wanted it at the end. Because when you didn't act the way that I wanted you to, now I am rationalizing and justifying my actions, right? It tells us in the first step that we have a choice only when we quit rationalizing and justifying our using, right? Well, today in recovery, I have a choice to be happy, but only when I quit rationalizing and justifying my behavior. Remember, it's not all about the drugs. That's a symptom of. It's about, am I going to continue to be driven by the resentment, the anger, the fear, and that triangle of self-obsession, or am I going to try to break that cycle, right? And so, like I said, I started progressing through, and man, it has really been until recently getting back into the steps, writing another four step. I wrote my third four step earlier, well, I guess it was middle of last year, end of last year, and it's the craziest shit, man. It was the only time I wrote a resentment section on a four step, and there was only one other person on there. The rest of those resentments were about me. And that's been the process I've been in. So here's the thing. So all these resentments that I thought I held towards other people, turns out they weren't about the other people. I've never once truly held a resentment that solely was about somebody else. These expectations that I put on people that continue to lead to these resentments had nothing to do with their actual behavior. What I was afraid of was not what they were going to do and the pain that they would inflict on me. What I was worried about was that they were going to validate the hatred and the low self-esteem and the low self-worth and the negative feelings I had about myself. You see, these resentments that I carried on from the earliest age was the feelings of inadequacy, the feelings of not being good enough. And here's, man, it's so crazy to look back. First time I worked the steps, I was like, man, it was these expectations I felt I had to live up to make my father proud, right? Like, I had to be this good. And my mother. I got, you know, daddy issues and mommy issues. Raised by a single mother, abandonment issues with a father. I had all that going on. And I thought I had these expectations that I had to be so good. And what I found out, and I found this out early on, they were self-imposed, right? They never specifically told me in any area, you have to be this good. You have to be this good. And what I didn't know that I developed was that low self-esteem and that true dislike for myself. And so I get clean, and I think this gets better. I can sit back and laugh, and I'm not saying it's not accurate for some people, but I remember coming in the rooms early on and be like, man, it is so great to love myself again. This is an awesome feeling. And looking back now, I'm like, motherfucker, you did not love yourself. Look at the relationships you were getting in. You didn't love yourself. You were gambling away your whole paycheck every Friday night. You didn't love yourself. And here's the thing, is what I learned is that I started to love myself here, right? So when we combat those symptoms of the triangle of self-obsession, you know, we talk about acceptance and forgiveness, right? To kind of combat those resentments. We talk love in the present. You know, and we talk faith over fear is how we start kind of combating that triangle of self-obsession. At the core of that for me is humility, right? Because there's two things that are at the core of my disease. It's ego and fear. Every single issue, every single problem, every single defect I have comes back to ego and fear, right? And when I heard that early on, I was like, oh, I ain't gonna have no problem with this ego stuff. I'm a piece of shit, right? Because I had, again, a misunderstanding of words. I came in with a preconceived notion that I knew what some shit meant. And I thought ego meant that I thought I was better than everybody. And I was like, man, I've been a piece of shit for a long time. I ain't got a problem with that. But what I understood now is that when I practice humility in my life, it is not to knock myself down a few pegs. It is to bring myself up to that right size, right? Because I'm my own worst critic. I've got those self-resentments that keep me down to the bottom of the low and will not let me find joy and peace in life, right? That's what my disease wants. My disease wants me to suffer the long, slow death. It wants two things of me. It wants me isolated and it wants me dead. And it has chosen to isolate me in a group of people. Like I said, it's that mental, emotional, and spiritual isolation. Man, I would much rather be completely by myself and had a little bit of peace than be surrounded by a group of people and be absolutely miserable. And that's been my experience. That's where I wind up, right? And so I came in and I started learning through the process, but recovery for me, we keep peeling the layers back, right? And the layer I'm at right now is I know these things. Some of y'all in here know a little bit of shit. We learn it. I mean, we really do. If you're in here and you don't know some shit, man, you better get to fucking work. But the thing is I know the information here. I have the self-love here, right? I have the understanding of acceptance and forgiveness here. And I thought it was going to be really difficult to find forgiveness for these people who had done me so wrong, right? Man, that part ended up being pretty easy. Like I said, their names aren't still popping up on my resentment list. What I didn't know is that I can't just say the words, well, I forgive myself and I love myself and it magically happens, right? Because I still have this ego disease and I still have this fear. And in more days than not, I still feel like I am not worthy of that. So how am I going to act? What kind of expectations am I going to put if I still expect the entire world to validate the negative feelings I have about myself? And so that's what recovery is teaching me today, is not to know the information here. But I have to get the information here, right? And man, there can be a blockade between here and here. And you know what's crazy? The thing that drove me into all those resentments and that negative behavior, into the low self-esteem and low self-worth, was fear. The fear of not being good enough. The fear of being taken advantage of. The fear of being abandoned again, right? But here's how the disease works. Today I have the fear of, what am I going to do if it really does get this much better? How am I going to handle this? Is it going to be uncomfortable? Am I going to be able to manage? How am I going to fuck it up? And so fear still drives the boat, right? Fear is still that barrier for me really to find that acceptance of myself and that forgiveness of myself. And here's the cool thing about Narcotics Anonymous is I get tastes of it, right? So at the core of that, the reason my resentment popped up is because I am selfish and self-centered by nature. I'm self-assessed. I already told y'all I'm a big fucking deal, right? And so that is what keeps me developing that fear, which keeps me rationalizing, justifying my behavior, keeps me building resentments, right? And it's crazy because the times that I taste the freedom for that, the times that I get that little bit of peace, the times that I feel worthy and lovable, is when I'm not doing anything for myself at all. That's what this program gives me the opportunity, is to come up here and be of service to somebody else, right? It's to make the coffee, is to chair the meeting, is to argue with Mason at a business meeting so he don't make stupid decisions. You know, that's how I be of service. But each time I do a little bit more service work, I get a little bit more outside of myself, right? They say, if you want to build self-esteem, do esteemable acts. Man, what they forgot to say is really enunciate that. Because I thought for me to build self-esteem, I had to do an esteemable act. I thought I could skate by on the work that I did yesterday, right? And that hasn't been my experience. I can be in active addiction without ever touching a substance. That's falling back into my character defects, having those resentments towards myself. Because here's the thing, in my experience, you don't work through it, hit the button, and it drops out the trap door and it's gone forever. These things will continue to resurface if I don't continue to do the daily maintenance to my program. Here's the thing about getting a little time clean, I should know better, right? Man, I've already worked through this. I've got the steps at my disposal. And what do? I figure some shit out on my own. And then I get real miserable and I get real resentful and I get real down on myself, and eventually I'm miserable enough that I pick the phone up and say, hey man, this shit ain't going all right. And then I get pointed out the things that I already knew here, but I can't get down to here, right? And that's the power of a WE program. Like I said, this is taking me into one place and it's in isolation. It's because I'm the only important person in the world, right? I'm the only person who is right. I'm the only person who can help. And all that leads into those expectations that y'all are going to continue to validate my negative feelings about myself. I don't know, man. There is a solution. The solution's in the steps. Before I could make it all the way through the steps to start getting some of those tools at my disposal, I was told to do service work. That's where the real solution for resentment towards me is. Because here's the thing. If I start surrounding myself with people and helping other people, eventually I start seeing myself in you, right? And if you're worthy of my help, eventually I'm going to be worthy of my own help. Appreciate it.
I have come to the conclusion, thanks both of y'all, I am still fucked up. And I got a whole lot of work to do. Yeah, I needed that. I really, really needed that. I don't know about y'all, but a lot of the things that were shared today, and it doesn't matter because this disease does not discriminate, you know, and all the stuff that was shared, me too, right? And my ego gets the best of me all the time because, you know, I get it. I think I'm the shit too dog. And I needed to hear that, you know. I needed to hear everything that was shared. I needed to hear about the relationships and the marriage because I'm 100% believe that he is the problem and not me, you know, because I work a program and he doesn't. So obviously he's the problem. No, I am the problem too. So, yeah, I needed to hear that. Thanks, you guys. What we got? All righty. Good stuff. Let's close this meeting, this workshop out, you guys. Let's circle up. Circle up.